talk mainly about samples from Baltimore because that's where my ancestors moved to from across the European scene. And so if you're talking about maps, then the organization that I belong to is the Washington Map Society, a long-term member, and it's a good group of professional map makers, enthusiastic amateurs, historians, people just interested in maps, people with no background in map making at all. But we meet once a month, the third Thursday of every month, in the basement of the Library of Congress. That's in the Madison building, that's one of the tall columns. And I gave you an example of, since it was dealing with maps, I've listed what the program is for this month, this very month. And it's dealing with, it turns out, it's dealing with maps and genealogy. So it's actually next Thursday, 7 o'clock, and everybody knows where the Madison building is, I guess. We have a few Library of Congress people here. It's in the basement. You don't need an ID to get in. You just say you're going to the meeting at 7 o'clock. Get the red and blue line if you want that. You get blue and orange line, block away. Red line, 3 or 4 blocks away. Easy to get there, easy public transportation. But I'll let you in on a secret. The parking restrictions end at 6:30 exactly. So I time my drive down there. It's 6:30. I park right in front of the building. So lots of options if you can make the meeting. And if you can't make the meeting, the speakers typically they write up the presentation and it'll appear in the portal. The magazine you see here. And the second one that I, the second program that I noticed is the Mount Vernon Genealogy Society. Brenda's a member of that, and Chuck Mason, he does a lot of genealogy lectures. And that's on the 21st of the month. But that's during the day, so people with day jobs as well. Anyway. So maps have always been of interest to me, and the here's the synopsis again of the two programs coming up, very basically the same topic that I have. So maps have always been of interest to me, and I've always, first thing I did when I got a new surname for a new person, try to find out where they live and try to use maps to make connections with the rest of the family. And I guess we've all done the same thing when we plot the location of people and put them in place of the context of the city or the places they live, establish families that live nearby, and looked at houses of worship. To identify perhaps which church they lived in, that they went to. And so the Seymour maps are a prime example of a tool like that. Seymour maps are available in the Library of Congress and through ProQuest, which is a subscription service. I went online just to survey what ProQuest had. They allow you to look and see, and I was really surprised that they had 97 Maryland towns. And these were small towns, so really a tremendous source. The other place is Library of Congress. There, I went down there a couple weeks ago and just surveyed the scene again, and I was given the portfolio of Baltimore maps. Did some photography, which you'll see later. But the thing that I learned this time, that I didn't focus in on before was that the map division is only open 8:30 to 5, which is difficult for working people. But it's an online, they have an online database, and the online database is available in the other rooms. For instance, the newspaper room is open late at night and on Saturdays, so you can go into the newspaper room and access this database. You don't have to go to the geography and map division, so it makes it much easier, much more available if you can make it to library commons. But, and of course, they have hundreds of thousands of maps across the country for almost every state. I didn't see Hawaii and Alaska, but it seemed to me, chances are your states, maps are available in your state. So my own particular ancestor is over here in Baltimore. This is Lombard Street. Let's see, do I have my cursor? Yeah, here's the cursor. And the Singapore map, step back a minute. If you haven't, aren't familiar with it, there's a key in all these red buildings are brick buildings. The yellow denotes wooden structures. And below is the very faintly, where's the cursor? Very faintly are the street house numbers. So, for instance, my immigrant ancestor, Frederick Wilhelm Franca, lived at 1510 Lombard, East Lombard, and that's the little D here around. The new cursor seems to disappear on me. That's this D for dwelling. It's three stories high. And the next door building is an S. That's where he had his store. To give you a little orientation to where we are in Baltimore, maybe you've been to the baseball stadium in Camden Yards. If you walked away from left field going north, the first street you come to is Pratt Street. If you took a cab down Pratt to the east, to the right, you pass the harbor, and you go over a little stream called Jones Falls. Past the Italian neighborhood on the right, little where all the Italian restaurants are, come to a wide street called Central Avenue. You make a left, and a few blocks up is where Frederick Wilhelm Franca's in-laws live, the Burmings. Make a right on Lombard, and two blocks you can come up to you to Frederick Wilhelm. Frederick Wilhelm's house and his store. One of the first things I did when I plotted where Frederick Wilhelm lived and I looked at the churches nearby, and you'll see immediately above this is Caroline Street on the north-south axis, as Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and that was the obvious place where I assumed he was worshipped since he was Lutheran. It turns out he didn't go to that church, not to get into too much of the theology, but that was Reformed Lutheran, and he was not Reformed. Not being totally familiar with theology, but he was just Lutheran without Reformed. But it was interesting that they had a church right around the corner, but he didn't worship here. Now, the Singapore maps themselves usually don't have names associated with buildings, except if you have, say, a big business like a lumberyard or a bakery or something like that. They also list things that they think are potential fire hazards. The street here, there's a building that has a printing press that says the electric motor. Sounds pretty dangerous to me. Mm-hmm. Or a lumberyard or totally wooden buildings. I'm sure your rate would have been much higher than everyone else's. So, jump right to the sample maps, but the course, before you get to Sanborn Match, you need to know the address. And of course, if you use city directories, we're probably your best bet. The census, there is, everybody's used the census, maybe correspondence or photographs, newsletters, articles might lead you to the street address. Again, you're familiar with the city directories. Locally, I used Maryland Historical Society, the Archives down in Annapolis, of course, Library of Congress, and then just recently, the University of Maryland has put the city directories online. It's really terrific. They have a wide range of city directories. And I would say check with the state university if you're the state that you're interested in. Chances are they have the city directories because it's something that the geographers use to conduct research. The other problem with Baltimore, and I assume it also exists in other areas, is that the street names change. Baltimore was continually expanding and exchanging and changing names of streets because there were duplicate streets in the annexed areas. The latest annexation was 1918. And then the other big problem is that there was a major renumbering of the streets in 1887. And I'll show you more about that. Just recently, there was an article in the Maryland Genealogy Society Journal that talks in detail about this. The other thing I should point out with the street city directories is if you get the name of the street, you still don't have a full study of where it is. The front of the city directory, at least where the ones from Baltimore have the they go through in very detail across section streets. So they'll list each street, the name of your street in each 100 block as it goes north and south and east and west. I mentioned the major renumbering of Baltimore, and this little line here is what's called Jones Falls. And that's where was the east-west dividing line for streets. So the 100 block east was here, and Pratt, for instance, it was 100 west was here. And then when you go way up to North Avenue, 100 west was here, 100 east was here. So that was a major disorientation for people trying to get around town. And it took them to 1887 to renumber everything. So we got to Sanborn and TMG, and I've given you three examples of Sanborn of using maps in TMG. And I probably here should switch to the TMG. Here's the sheet where you would enter this general source definition, and you would include in your citation detail the page number and the block number of the citing the book that you got from Library of Congress, right? If you use Library of Congress. I also provided two other examples of maps. One was the 1887 Atlas of Baltimore County, which was a reprint of an atlas. And then this third was the Bromley Atlas, 1915 Baltimore County, which was a CD. There is and since it was issued by Maryland Historical Maryland State Archives, they asked for a special invitation that called for, and I provided that there, and how I filled it out. I talked to one of the things I think I'm going to do, and I think Mark is going to do also, is to provide an export of these files to a file so you can pick them up and pull them into your own TMG and take a look at them firsthand and save you from retyping them or changing the type. I'm probably the least experienced TMG user here, so I'd be anxious to see if you had corrections or suggestions for improvement. Going through again back to the city blocks, if you have the street address, of course, your person of interest has lived here a long time, just so they bought property. And in Baltimore City, they have two ways to get to the property. One is the block number, and this is a map that you get from the state archives, and all this is online. And the block number for the interest here is 1368. That's the block number I would use to go to the index of real estate transactions. The other way you can go about it is look at the grantor and grantee index, but that's by year. And it's very, of course, you can imagine that transactions grow in a big city like Baltimore, so it's very cumbersome to look at. It's by year and then by last name. It's also somewhat tricky in that the last names are, there's special codes that the county clerk uses. For instance, Frank is separated from other names, from Frazier and so forth. So you really have to make sure that you are looking in the right spot if you don't find a transaction cheap. Things should be there. So the preferred way is to go by these lot numbers. I was up in Baltimore doing some business, and I took out my ABC map. This Alexander drafting map. And I happened to notice something that caught my eye. That was the St. Alphonsus Cemetery. Last October, I talked about my immigrant ancestor, George Brentford, came over in 1840 and died in 1892. He was buried in St. Alphonsus. And I was really struck by this because of one fact. St. Alphonsus Cemetery doesn't exist. And if you go look at I couldn't get out to Google, but I wanted to go to Google. This is so caution. I did do the snapshot of the Google map, and that is the exact same spot. Here's where the cemetery should be. It's plot. There's nothing there, so you can say, well, the cemetery is there, except the satellite shows this is two little office buildings, and this is looks like a redeveloping this line. I happen to know the St. Alphonsus Cemetery was moved in 1961. All the graves were disinterred and moved to another cemetery. And what Alexandria Drafting Company has done is they put bogus information onto their map. They did it in case there's another map company that has decided to move into the territory or map that area and sell maps. What's to stop you from doing that? Well, this is Alexander Drafting Company's method of detecting people who might copy their maps without authorization. Cemeteries are a favorite device or a favorite bogus information device to put on the maps because people so seldom use them, and it's easy to provide the bogus information without harming them. Now, what I wanted to do at this point was go out to the Google Maps, but I couldn't get an internet connection. Does anybody use Google Street View?
Sure.
Everybody uses?
Yeah.
Well, in case there's a soul here, this picture that you see on the left, there's a little man sitting there.
Yeah.
Standing there. Double click on that, and you get a picture of the street as you see it there. And you can orient yourself and go down, and I want to drive down past the cemetery and show you the office buildings there on the cemetery. But where the cemetery should be, that's not good. Well, we can't do that today, but when you go out, you should do it.
The air appears to be working today.
Oh, it is. I couldn't get out, but I just tried to set up. Of course, I'm nothing. As long as everybody's has seen it before, I'm going to make sure you've seen that. Okay. So I thought I would end on at the cemetery. That's what was appropriate. And for Baltimore, there's a book called that I've used. It has two good maps, and it's guided me in the examination of cemeteries and my cemetery experience. And one is it's called "Very Quiet: The Baltimoreans," Jane B. Wilson. And hopefully, you have something similar to the areas that you're looking at. One other little wrinkle that I thought about, I'm a member of the Baltimore County Genealogy Society, and they sent me a flyer. They're going to do a cemetery survey, and the inside had a list a template for going out and look at the cemeteries. And I thought that, that's so 20th century. To do a paper list, what they really should do is get that device that the Google car puts on top and say, put it on a lawnmower and have the groundskeeper go up and down the road. And then that way, you're in the 21st century. So, Paul?
Do you put your maps in your exhibits? Do you take pictures of your maps and put them in the TMG as exhibits?
To be honest, no, I don't. I just got religion and I said, I've got all this stuff and I'm going to put it away so I have access to it. So I'm just starting in the TMG. So I've used them, I've always used them. It's the first thing I do is look at a map and sort of generate a pencil map or whatever. But I've never put it in TMG.
Yeah. Because of course you could take the Sanborn map of the of your great grandfather, was it, or grandfather? in Baltimore and you put it up there, and also I think identify where the building is that he lived in, maybe where the store was other items right there in your as an exhibit.
There's no way you could do that. I'm really sort of transitioning. I just had to get off my XP laptop, and I've relied on the desktop for. I've got my surnames on the desktop, and I've got the data in the surnames, and I'm sort of reluctant to bring it all over to here. That's sort of torn. That's just one of the things I have to decide on. But I've got the maps. They're under the surveys and they're in there. A lot more in there. A lot of them are great folders that they're sitting in stacks. I'm going to get it all organized. That's one thing I'm going to do. Then I'm going to force myself to learn this. I had to also